This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are down a man after one day.
By the way, you're missing a day. Today's Wednesday. Today's not Tuesday.
I thought I said Wednesday.
No.
You said Tuesday. But
yeah,
that's okay.
It is Wednesday.
Sorry.
It's just a little thing we have to get out of the way.
But we are down a man.
We are down a man. That's true.
I'm John Paul Flam, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, good morning.
And Jason Bishop.
Yes, sir.
And Eric Bickle is not with us.
Nope.
He's not.
He's not in D.C. He hasn't flown back to beat the snow.
No, didn't do that.
He went to the Woods restaurant with Jason Bishop because they're obsessed with Tiger Woods.
They love him so much.
And apparently, he didn't make it out alive.
He didn't make it. When I saw him, he was fine.
Well, he's alive, but apparently barely alive.
I left him at the lobby of the hotel last night at about, I don't know, maybe 7:30.
So it actually was just a happy hour that you guys went to.
Yeah, went to happy hour. Went over there at about 4:30. Took about 25 minutes to drive. Really nice place. The Woods is really nice. Upscale sports bar, tons of TVs.
I saw the background. It looked like a very well lit
smoke show
bar.
Of a bartender.
Yeah. How's Jupiter, by the way? Did you see
Jupiter? Well, I didn't see much, but I mean, the Woods is in a kind of a upscale, ritzy town center.
Okay.
A lot of little open-air restaurants and bars.
So an upscale strip mall, basically.
Yeah, but
yeah,
looks,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Looks
know,
a little different, yeah. You know. Looks like Beverly Hills in Florida.
Okay.
So, we valeted the car, went in there, had a couple drinks. There's actually some listeners in there that spotted us.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Very nice. Junks P1s. Give them a clap.
A listener from Boca Raton.
Clap them up.
That hung out with us for a little bit.
Well, he probably listened and knew that you guys were going to the Woods. And that's actually a guy, I think, who tweets us a lot.
Yeah, I think he does. He stalks Bickle. And then there was another couple that's from Falls Church that was down here just to kind of watch the Nats.
Okay.
And they come down here every spring.
Sure.
They were sitting at the bar, so we talked to them. Anyway, so Eric ordered chicken wings.
Okay. Delicious.
And a burger.
Okay.
And I think a salad.
That's a lot of food.
That's a lot of food.
No wonder he got food poisoning.
How many drinks?
He ate everything on the menu.
I think the drinks sometimes affect the tummy.
Well, he had two Jack and Cokes. I mean,
that's standard.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
I had a grilled chicken Caesar salad, which was awesome.
Okay.
And a glass of wine, and I was fine. Got back to the hotel. He said, I'm just going to hang out and get some snacks.
Okay.
He says he wanted to get some snacks.
After eating a salad, wings, and a burger, he needed snacks.
Right.
He needed snacks, Harrison.
I said, all right, well, I'm going up because it was about 7:45. Yeah. I was just going to wait for you guys to text me and let me know if you were in the bar or not.
Yeah.
Well, Cakes was at the dog track, and I was with CK and Drab, and we went to Rocco's Tacos in downtown West Palm Beach.
Wacky name.
Yep. And there was about a 45-minute wait, and it actually was worth it, but we didn't get seated probably until 8 o'clock.
Those must have been the world's best tacos. If you waited 45 minutes for them, I mean, they're tacos. I can make them at home.
Well, it was all you can eat.
So that's the attraction?
Well, when you have six of them, yeah.
You had six tacos.
Were they big? How big were they? The standard? Like Taco Bell size?
Yeah, but they were stuffed full of carne asada.
I'm surprised you're not sick this morning.
Hold on. I'm mystified by this. Six tacos, and I know you had just probably two baskets filled with tortilla chips and salsa or queso.
I had a lot of tortilla chips, but it was you had to pay for them. First time I've ever been to a Mexican restaurant, you had to pay for chips and salsa.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a nubby restaurant.
That's preposterous.
Anyway, that restaurant was packed. Meanwhile, there was a restaurant right next door, and we were tempted. Once you start, they said 15-minute wait for us.
Yeah.
And once you wait 15 minutes and it starts dipping into 20, 25, 30, you start looking around like, well, why aren't we going next door, which is empty?
Mm. Sure.
But then you think about it, that there's a reason why next door is empty and this place is packed.
Right.
And you would have been butt-sized. I couldn't recognize them. There were definitely players coming in.
Oh, really?
Like, I saw this one dude. I mean, they could have been minor league players, but you could just tell by, like, the wristband tan.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're, like, tan, and then there's, like, this big white strip of where they clearly have that. But anyway, you're at the Woods.
We're at the Woods, and we're having, had our meal.
Yeah.
And then we went back, and then, I, like I said, I just departed from, right. from Bickle.
Sure.
And he said, I'm just going to hang out here and get some snacks.
Okay.
I said, what do you mean snack? Where are you going to get snacks?
At the pantry, right at the lobby of the hotel.
I guess. And then that's the last I heard from him. And then this morning I wake up and you guys tell me that he was throwing up.
Well, the reports are he's puking and it's coming out the other end as well. Yeah, so it's no bueno. It's to the point where if our flight departs today, and I'm crossing my fingers that it does.
Oh, so am I.
That he claims that he can't get on the bird.
He'll be fine in a couple hours.
Who knows?
Come on. Eat we'll some see. Bread. He'll be okay.
By the way, I'm guessing no Tiger Woods sighting at the woods.
No.
From the sound of
and
it.
It's not a surprise either because it was happy hour time. Baseball's jammed.
Right.
He's not going to roll in there when it's jammed.
No, he wants to roll in like 5 minutes before close.
I actually asked.
What is the woods like? Is it nothing but memorabilia of Tiger Woods?
I mean, there were pictures of Arnold Palmer and Jack. But it wasn't overly Tiger Woods obsessive.
Got
but
it.
But golf obsessive.
Well, yeah, I mean, there were some pictures, but it really wasn't over the top. Right. I mean, it was pretty classy looking place. But it was – I loved it.
Of course you loved it. You're in your element.
Service was
it.
Great. Food was excellent.
You guys sat at the bar.
Sat at the bar. And I guess Bickle, didn't take to it.
I guess. The
I was
Tiger
surprised.
Woods restaurant didn't really agree with him.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with him
last
night.
Wasn't there one trip maybe 17 or 18 years ago when we first started doing the show where you were left behind because you were sick? Or did you just not feel like getting up when we went to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was the first Super Bowl we went to in Atlanta.
Oh, it was in Atlanta. Oh, yeah.
He was so hungover, he realized, I'm not taking the early flight. I'm going to switch my flight and sleep in until the last minute. He was so – here's the nugget I remember. He was so devious and planning that he left, like, the door latch on his door – blocking the door, so there's a little crack left, so he wanted.
I could go back into the
room. Yeah, so I think he went to the lobby and said, "You all are finished. Not taking the flight with you." Went back up to his room
and
crashed.
I missed a photo with. You remember?
With, hold on.
You guys missed the photo with Jerry Rice.
Yes.
Yeah, Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice was in the lobby of the hotel
along with Tony Chica. Nigerian bellman.
He was the bellman.
I forgot Jerry Rice, but I remember.
You'll never forget Tony Chica.
I'll be on my deathbed, and my death rattle will be Tony Chica.
Well, because 30 years from now, when we're like showing grandkids cool pictures of like what grandma or what grandpa did, like here's a picture, and they'll be like, "Who's that guy?" Like, this is the greatest wide receiver of all time, and they're like, "Who's that guy? Was he also in the NFL?"
No, it's just Tony Chica.
Just a bellhop.
He's over from Lagos, Nigeria.
Do you still have that picture?
I don't think so.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, that was a contrived, calculated plan on my part.
Absolutely.
A lot different than what's going on with Bickle.
And apparently, Jason Bishop had a Tom Hanks dream last night.
Yes,
that's so strange.
It's very weird.
Tom Hanks was in my dream last
night. That it dovetails with the cash flash order.
And you come in here, and your hint was to Cakes, the key word is a former Tom Hanks movie from the 80s.
And I said
– You said big.
Before I said big, I said Castaway. He said that's too long.
Right, so it's
usually the cash flash words are single-syllable words.
Yeah, they're short, yeah.
But that's just weird how the mind works.
What were you and Tom
what
doing
did you
in the
and
dream?
Tom do?
Yeah, I can't remember.
What were you guys up to?
I just remember him being in my dream last night.
Hey, we should mention, it's a little bit chilly here, by the way. We are at national spring training.
Poor planning.
And
by
we
you.
Do have a skirt now in front of the table.
Clap
so you won't
up.
Be able to see Kix's leg bouncing throughout the show.
We're pros today.
Where's cankles?
Yeah, no cankles.
We'll be able to see Jason, did not wear the sweatpants because he was worried the viewers would see him wearing the sweatpants 2 days ago. And now he's regretting it because he's wearing shorts.
Well, I got
I'll tell you what, it's nippier today than it was yesterday.
I got cankle shame, so I'm wearing jeans. But it is a little bit chilly and nippy out here.
Yeah,
JP's wearing a short sleeve shirt. And I see the goosebumps from where I'm sitting.
I'm such an idiot. Is that when I come down, we're supposed to meet at 4:55 downstairs in the lobby. So I go downstairs at 4:55,
which, by the way, is way too early.
Way too early. I mean,
why aren't we meeting at 5:15?
Cakes and I stopped at McDonald's on the way, and it was the slowest McDonald's of all time.
World's least efficient McDonald's.
Like for 15 minutes. But anyway, we had that. We had the luxury of being able to sit in the line for 15 minutes at McDonald's.
Right. Still got here in plenty of time.
But I knew that I needed my jacket. But once I made it downstairs and you guys were all there, I was like, I can't go back upstairs to the room to get my jacket. And I so regret it.
Well, I would have taken 20 seconds.
It would have taken 20 seconds.
What are you thinking?
I'm a donk.
Well, you also didn't realize it was a little bit chillier.
It's definitely a little chilly here in Florida. Although,
didn't look at the weather.
We don't have snow. Yeah. We don't have those issues. Right now, our flight is not canceled.
That's the biggest story in our life right now.
We don't know if we're going to make it back to D.C. tonight. Our flight is scheduled for right around 2:30. So we will see if that we are going to be able to make it back to D.C. or we're spending one extra night at the hotel. And there are five rooms.
We have our rooms extended.
So we do have a landing spot in case the flight is canceled.
We do.
Where are we going to do the show is the question.
Don't know. We should mention that today's
show. By the way,
I
don't want to do the show in my room tomorrow. You know why?
Why?
Well, because I don't know what NBC Sports Washington is going to do. But Jack's going to have to get in there really early to set up. If these guys are going to do it, they're going to have to get in there at 3:30. My sleep will be interrupted. Where am I going to sleep?
Definitely be interrupted.
So we're not doing the show from my room.
We can do it from a...
Unless you get me another room where I can sleep.
You know where we can do it from? A cushioned cabana.
We can do a poolside.
That would be fine.
At the Four Diamond Hotel we're staying at, the West Palm Hilton.
Yeah, I got to clap that
up. Definitely Four Diamonds.
So super nice.
While you were at the Woods, I did a little workout with Drab, and then after it, I decided to jump in the pool. Just really to
By the way, it's a great pool.
I kind of felt like just getting my money's
worth. I've only seen it from the outside.
Well, that's what I mean, just by just seeing it from inside the lobby, it's
looks
a great
like,
pool.
It looks like it's a scene, like people go to that pool to hang out. Now, I went
It looks like Vegas.
Yeah.
I went after the scene was shut down. Like, I went right around 5 p.m., I would say. And at 5 p.m. yesterday in West Palm Beach, kind of like it is now, it was windy. So anyway, I jump in the pool, and it felt really good. I don't know if it's a heated pool or just the fact that we're out in the sun, it felt really good. So I'm in the pool for like 5 or 10 minutes, and then it's a pretty empty area at that time. I just grab a chair, and I have my headphones on, and I'm like, I'm at least going to listen to 3 songs before I go upstairs because I feel like I'm getting my money's worth out of this pool.
Right.
And maybe get some sun, even though it was basically the sun's going down. It's not like I'm going to get tan.
Right.
I put my shirt down right next to me, next to the chair, and I actually tuck it in my shoe because – it's windy.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen to 3 songs, and then I
get
up. Shirt's gone. Completely gone. Then I actually pick up the chairs next to my chair. Shirt's not there. I actually go across the pool because I did see, like I saw a hat earlier fly around, like somebody on one side of the pool had a hat, flew all the way to the other side of the pool. I did a whole search. I lost my shirt.
Just blew away?
EB, we're down a man to the other show. I'm down a shirt.
Yeah. You sure the cabana boy didn't take it?
And then the worst part, there was no cabana boy at that point. The worst part was then I had to walk through the lobby. Now, at least it's not like Cakes where he walked through the Borgata lobby in just his boxers.
Right.
But still, I'm walking through with my dad bod, have to go up through the elevator.
I'm sure we'll bring it up
definitely
later.
Definitely embarrassing.
You weren't causing a scene like Zay Jones, the Buffalo Bills wide receiver. We'll talk about that later.
Did you see the video?
I saw the screen grab where I saw his butt.
Yeah.
Because he was totally naked.
Yeah, By the way, I'm guessing he wasn't sober.
No, probably not.
If we do have to stay an extra day, I may be wearing this tomorrow because I packed light.
Very light packer.
Hey, you can go over to the ballpark store and get yourself a Nat shirt.
That's true.
Or an Astro shirt.
Right. You could do that.
Same complex.
They are the world champions.
But I'm not really psyched to buy Nats or Astros underwear.
Because
unlike you, I do wear underwear.
Yep.
I mean, you got to pack an extra
pair
of just extra space in the duffel bag.
I actually packed workout clothes.
Yeah.
I've used those. I've used like 3 or 4 pair of underwear already.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'm on only pair number 2. I haven't been doing anything that strenuous. I mean, I spent 8 hours at the poker table yesterday trying to felt senior citizens.
By the way, you did a pretty good job.
I did okay. I walked out up like 3:10 or 3:15, but I was there for 8 hours.
You'll take that.
Of course. I got there at 11:30-ish.
I love how Cakes tries to play it off, too.
So what's that per hour? What'd you make per hour?
I love how he tries to play it off during the day like he's not going to go to the casino.
Right.
Yeah.
Like yesterday we're doing the show. I don't know. And then like right when I'm driving the fantastic Yaris, which I wish
would
be bet me $100. It does not have any sort of lever to fix the side mirrors.
Right, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Yeah. Anyway, 10 minutes into the car ride, he goes, "Yeah, I think I might want your keys.
Ship the keys."
Man, he cannot stay away.
Because your boy is going to the Palm Beach Kennel Club and Poker Room.
He just cannot stay away.
I actually said, "Well, why even go back to the room?" He's like, "Yeah, I'll take a shower." So you took a shower before you went there.
Yeah, so I took a shower.
Well, congratulations, you have showered.
I have
but
showered.
But you have basically used one pair of underwear.
Two, I think.
Two.
I grinded for 8 hours, and then The only food I ate yesterday was McDonald's. We had an Egg McMuffin. I had an Egg McMuffin in the morning.
Yeah.
And then after, I didn't eat any lunch because I just love looking at flops like a total degenerate. And then I made a beeline for McDonald's and had silly 10-piece nuggets and fries. And then I looped around on Okeechobee Boulevard.
This is the best.
And stopped at the Speedway gas station.
Right.
And I bought lottery tickets and a 9-pack of Miller Lite. And I went back to the hotel and I just white trashed it up in my room by myself.
You drank Miller Lights by yourself in your room.
Yes.
He actually sent a text to
us. Why didn't you just go down to the hotel bar and have a cup?
Because I was being a squeaker.
Oh. Incredible.
And I just didn't feel like socializing.
Did anybody go to the hotel bar last night?
I did not, no.
He sent a text to us while we're at dinner, and he's like, if you guys feel like stopping by, I got a 12-pack of beer. I'm going to be hanging out at the pool.
Right. But then I got no to tepid responses, so I figured, well, I'm just drinking alone in my room.
Yeah.
Because you guys were at the woods. EB was probably puking by that point. These dummies were waiting in line at Rocco's Tacos for 100 hours. Well, so I was just forced to drink Miller Lights by myself.
Well, you were doing that, and I haven't watched a full episode of NCIS ever.
Well, why would you? Are you 70?
Mark Harmon's pretty good.
Are you 70?
They solved the crime, didn't they?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Of course.
Everybody at the poker room has seen multiple episodes of NCIS because they're all old.
Well, there was nothing sports related on last night.
Not till late.
Yeah, not till late. I mean, I guess Houston and Portland was on late night, but obviously I was comatose at that point.
It's like a 10:30 tip.
So I watched
the Caps games.
Yeah, I wasn't going to watch the NIT games. So I watched a full episode of NCIS. That's what I did last night.
Did you enjoy
it? You know what? I think you have energy right now.
Did you like it?
I did. I did like it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Why do you have so much energy?
Because I had a 5-hour this morning.
Of course.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us right now, their stud shortstop, Trey Turner. Thank you, Trey, for joining us.
Got him up early.
Clap him up.
You know, Trey, when the Nationals first traded for you a couple years ago and we weren't familiar with who you are, we just assumed you were a brother because we heard you were speedy and your name was Trey.
Yeah, we just...
I've gotten that quite a bit in my baseball career. I remember, one time in summer ball, I played on a summer team. Guys are coming from all over the country, and quite a few of them said the same thing.
This has to be the fastest person I've ever sat next to.
He's a fast dude.
How could I have sat next to a faster person than Trey Turner? It's physically impossible.
If we had a race right now, if you had to run a 40.
Okay, because that's my specialty.
And Trey Turner was running a 40 next to you. How many?
Right now you might get me.
Really?
I just woke up a little while ago.
Okay,
so
woke up.
Yeah, but he runs palms up. Like
my form is it's very unorthodox. But I think
now he cranked a marathon. Believe it or not, three and a half hours.
That's very impressive.
That's steady as
slow
she goes.
And steady.
I don't have the fast twitch that Trey clearly has.
Trey could probably crawl and beat you in a 40.
I think if I started on the 28, and he started at 0, I think I might win. But you never know. It might be dicey.
You never know.
So how's the spring going for you so far, man?
It's been good. I've really enjoyed getting a chance to work with the new staff.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great. I just had a lot of fun. It's been really relaxing. You know, I don't feel like there's this pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the past few years, you know, I feel like there may have been a pressure or like urgency.
Even in spring training, you felt that?
Like pressure to impress, to make the team.
Oh, no, I guess everybody has their own little individual battles, but I mean as a team. You know, we've had a lot of fun with the camels and the little golf tournament thing we had. And, you know, it's a long season. I think sometimes you can worry about some things that aren't necessarily that meaningful. And obviously we're getting prepared and, you know, we want to be ready, which I think we are. But you can have fun while doing it, and I think we've done that.
And we talked about this for like a minute or two before we went on the air. You're basically home. You're 20 minutes away from where you grew up. You've got your support system around. Your parents live 20 minutes away. Talk about what that's like with having, you know, your parents and family around, and they can pop over. You can probably pop over and see them whenever you want.
Yeah, constantly giving tickets. You know, I'm leaving the ticket board probably. But, no, it's great having them around. You know, I think almost every Sunday I eat with my parents, my grandpa, and then I get a chance to see my aunts and uncles, my sister, friends from home that I grew up with, some of my best friends, you know, that I still keep in touch with all the time. I went to dinner with a couple of them last night, so it's nice to have that kind of that home. hometown feel.
Do you have good friends that you played with in high school that made any clubs or playing in the minor leagues now?
No. A lot of them played college ball.
Yeah.
Most of them played college ball, but I have a small circle kind of friends, maybe 5, 6, 7 friends that, you know, I still keep in touch with a lot. And then I have friends from college that, you know, are playing in the minor leagues now, but from here, no.
Yeah. Man, last year was just tough because, you know, this team is so talented. And then, you know, it's just hard. You know, we talked to Zim yesterday. It's just hard to win in the playoffs. I mean, everything kind of has to go right. You got to catch the breaks. You got to get lucky. You got to be healthy. You know, what was that like after losing the Cup Series? How long does it take you to get over that? And then when do you start, like, kind of refocusing for the next year?
You know, I like to prepare as much as I can, and then, you know, kind of whatever happens, happens, you know. And once it's over, you can't control it. So you just remember it, put it away, and use it while you're, you know, you're training for the next season. But like you said, there's so many little things. I think in the last 2 years we lost probably five or six of the games by one run or so. So, I mean,
it's how tight it is, man.
Yeah, it's not like we're getting blown out or we're nervous or, you know, whatever it may be. I don't think it's as bad as, you know, a lot of other people make it seem. Obviously, I want to win more than anybody, but you know, I think that's very small, you know, window that we can you know, change something, and we could be talking about a World Series or, you know, something different than happened. So you know, to me, it's not the big deal, but obviously, I would have loved to win in the last couple of years.
How motivating is it for you and your teammates when you come into this beautiful complex that you share with the Houston Astros? You come down the main drag, you look to the left, you see the Astros' big sign, and underneath it says "World Champions." Yep. You come to the right, the Nats. It would be nice if one of those is underneath.
By the way,
the curly W.
It's if you look to the left, because Cakes this morning
said,
"I didn't even know that was there."
There you
go. Like, what were you doing?
I was like that.
Full disclosure, I was slightly hungover yesterday. I just was, and I didn't notice I missed it. I was a little more clear-headed today. That's all.
Yeah, no, I think anything you can use for motivation, obviously, you know, we put so much effort into this. We want to win. You know, it's not like in the last couple of years we're like, nah, we're good with, you know, where we're at. We put, you know, hours every day, you know, all year round, off season, in season, and it's kind of all we think about. So, you know, we want to get over that hump. We want to make it to the, you know, farther into the playoffs, the World Series, and win it. I don't think we want to continue to make the first round of playoffs and go home.
Give us an idea of what your daily routine is now. We got about, I don't know, 8 days left until opening day. But what time do you get up? What kind of workout do you get in before the game? And then after the game, what are you doing?
Well, beginning of spring training, you wake up a little earlier. Towards the end, you get a little tired of it. But, you know, a lot of people get here between 6 and 7. And then it's just a matter of
– seems like there's a lot of chill time.
Not really.
Really? It seems
– I feel like if I get here at 7, I'm rushed to do stuff the whole time. Yeah. A lot of guys get treatment. They, you know, they work on their bodies. They do different things to make themselves feel better, you know, just with an everyday grind, whether it's, you know, stretching or anything like that, getting the hot tub, cold tub. So they do a lot of that. Then a lot of people go and, you know, hit early.
Right.
Then you go and stretch again for, you know, team stretch, do all your team fundamentals, individual defense, hit BP, come back in. You got maybe, you know, 30 minutes to eat lunch, and then it's kind of get ready for the game again. So it's the downtime you have is probably spent eating.
Right.
You get here, you eat.
Gotcha.
For, you know.
And then what about after a game? Do you have any meetings after, post-game meetings, or
no,
are you looking at video or anything?
I think that's kind of an individual thing for the most part, you know. If you want to talk about hitting with, you know, K Long and JD, then you go and watch the video on that. You know, I've talked to Bogey plenty of times about defensively doing things, you know, here or there. But in the mornings, we kind of get that done as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier in camp, you kind of get that done where you talk about, you know, this is what we want to do, this is how we're going to do it this year. And they've done a great job communicating all that. So I think we're kind of on the same page, and we're ready to roll.
We're joined by Trey Turner, national shortstop. And we talked to your manager, Davey Martinez, yesterday, and we wondered, how's the team going to be different than last year's team with Dusty Baker? And you guys are a veteran team, so it's not probably going to be dramatically different for fans. But he did say aggressiveness, and he was talking about running. You're going to lead this team in stolen bases. That's your thing. Are you going to have, like, green light all the time? Do you know? What's the deal?
For me, I know it's different staff, so don't get me wrong here, but I feel like it's going to be a lot like last year. You know, I had that green light, and then there was times where, you know, they put the red light on me. And, you know, obviously, it was, you know, not that often, but you still get it throughout a course of game, even if it's for a pitch here or there, or an at bat here or there. And I kind of expect the same thing. Obviously, I'm gonna try to be as aggressive as I can, and any opportunity I have to steal, I want to take advantage of it. But I'm sure there'll be times where, you know, they put the red light on, and you know, that's just the game of baseball.
How many games did you miss last year with the wrist? Is that about 40 or 50? Or
yeah,
is that more than
No, about that, I would say.
And you had 46 stolen bases. You probably would have had about 70.
I played right around 100 games, I know. All so right. I don't know how many I missed, but I played 98 or 99 or something like that. I played right around 100 games, so hopefully I can get that number up a little bit.
You will.
Are there some pitcher-catcher combos when you look at it on the upcoming schedule where you say, well, I'm going to get three or four stolen bags today because they just can't stop
it's gotta me.
It's got to be. There has to be a few of them when you see them on the sked.
I never do that because – that would imply I have to get on first base quite a bit. So, you know, I think I don't ever plan on or, you know, try to act like I'm going to steal three or four bases today, because then you're going to be on base at least twice. And, you know, these guys are really good up here. Even if you see a pitcher really well at the plate and you hit them very well, doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you could hit the ball right at somebody. So, you know, I'm a big play-by-ear kind of guy, and just trying to be competitive as, you know, as I can be.
Let me ask you this. Who are some of the tougher pitchers to read that you've seen the last couple of years?
Tehran.
Yeah.
Basically all the Braves, actually. You know, last year they had R.A. Dickey and Bartolo Colon, and they were really, really quick to the plate. You know, they're veteran guys. They've been around. They know how to control the running game. So, you know, it's just almost – you know, almost tough. It doesn't matter to me as much who's behind the plate. It's more so the pitcher.
The pitcher.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me ask you something. On this team, there are a bunch of guys with big, scraggly beards. Is there any beard pressure? Like peer pressure? You have a nice tight one.
I don't think I have a choice. That's about all I can do. So,
Looks like Strauss has like a big, scraggly beard.
You don't feel beard shaming from Kelly and Strauss?
No.
Doolittle.
No.
None of that?
Can't say I do.
We had Sean on yesterday, and he talked about his metal playlist and how it went over like a lead balloon. A lot of the teammates weren't into it.
Mm-hmm.
What's two or three songs on Trey Turner's playlist that if you had to crank it out,
I like the,
that people would hear?
Not old school rap, because I'm probably – old school rap to me is not the same
early,
as –
early 2000s.
Yeah, like
Mars.
Early 2000s, you know, rap.
Us old?
From my – no, because then everybody will probably hate me who's listening. But, you know, probably a lot of those early 2000 songs when I was, you know, 12 to 15, 16 years old. Just I feel like, you know, I hear a song and I think of a certain memory from back then, and that's kind of what I wanted to put on my my playlist. So it was a little bit of everything, try to mix it up, not all rap, but that is my favorite song.
So you don't get into EPMD or Eric B or –
Not much. I kind of.
Have you heard an EPMD song?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
We gotta get him into EPMD.
Way before his time.
I know, but it's so good.
I like old school. Like I like Michael Jackson, Jackson 5. I like stuff like that.
Right.
I like old school stuff, but I kind of listen to a little bit of everything. I can't say I've listened to EPMD.
Who has the worst musical?
I can't believe that.
Who has the worst musical taste in the clubhouse?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
It's okay to call him out.
I couldn't tell you.
No.
I felt like we did a really good job this year.
Mm-hmm.
You hit all the genres.
Yeah, we had a little bit of like reggae one day, you know, and I think that's what was cool about it. Everybody put on their own personal playlist, and they kind of did their own thing, and nobody was worried really about what other people were going to say. They just kind of went for it.
Right. I know you're a couple years into it, so you're used to it, but you break into the big leagues at 22 or maybe even 21. I don't remember. What's it like culturally to all of a sudden step into a team situation where there are guys who have kids, mm-hmm. there are guys who are, you know, there's some that are 30s, but there's some that are in like the upper 30s.
Yep.
It's like totally different. It's like they almost could be your dad. What's it like?
You start to see that a little bit at AAA. You know, there's a lot of guys who are, you know, late 20s, early 30s who have, you know, a kid or two. And that was different for me because, you know, still being in the minor leagues, I guess, and, you know, in the big leagues, you kind of expect it a little bit. You know, you see on MLB Network or whatever it is, you know, guys bring their kids to the field, and and I think it's something that you share with your kid. But for me to be, like you said, 21, 22, and then be in AAA and see it, then
I'm just wondering, like, who
different.
You would hang with at first. Like, do you find, like, the youngest guy there? And
I think at the field it doesn't matter.
Yeah, in the field it doesn't matter.
You don't have that much time, downtime away from the field. I think it's, in Syracuse I live with a couple guys, so that's obviously who I hung out with all the time. And thankfully none of them had kids, so I didn't have to hear a crying baby in the next room or anything like that. But, in the big leagues you don't really have roommates, so yeah. It's different. You got to get used to it, but it's good. I think it's very good for the young guys.
Where do you live?
When?
In the season.
I'm going to guess.
Should I not say that? Because I'm not going to say that.
I'm not saying your address.
No. Like Arlington area or D.C.
I'm not saying your street.
Around. I live around.
See, he's private. That's okay.
You live in the city.
I respect
live in
that.
Crystal City.
I lived next to the stadium on 15.
Yeah.
No, 16. 16, I lived next to the stadium. And now I don't.
You got a little further out.
Just moved away.
Yeah. I like getting away from the field a little bit, And I think the restaurants, around D.C. are pretty good. So I try to get some, food here or there, try new places and stuff like that.
So what was the one thing that you felt like you had to work on in the offensively? What was the one thing you felt like you had to work on in the offseason?
I didn't really care for, some of the habits I created last year. I felt like I hit kind of completely different than I did in 2016, and I was just trying to kind of get back to where I was in 2016.
What was that? What do you mean? What specifically?
Were
you just too aggressive last year?
No.
Swinging at bad pitches?
I think, swinging at bad pitches, is always, a thing anybody can prove. I don't think being too aggressive is a bad thing. Everyone's mad at that I hit the first pitch all the time, but the MVP in the AL hit like 460 on the first pitch last year. So obviously it just depends whether you do it well or not.
Right.
And my first year I think I did it well.
Yeah.
And now
I get back to
last
that.
Year I didn't. I think it's also they pitched me differently in 2016. They didn't want me to steal bases, and they didn't want to walk me.
Right.
Last year they didn't care, and I had a hard time realizing that.
Uh-huh.
I get to a 3-2 count or a 3-1 count, I'm like, they don't want to walk me. They're going to throw me, a decent pitch to hit, and they didn't. They would throw me a lot of off-speed. They throw me balls in the dirt, and for me that was kind of hard to comprehend, why they would take the chance, but, that's what they did, and they had success with it, so I just need to, improve on that and kind of mature, I guess.
Awesome. All right, Trey Turner, man. Appreciate the time.
Yeah.
Good luck this year. Stay healthy, man.
Yeah, thank
it's awesome.
You guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for joining
lives
us.
Lives around, Cakes.
I know. That's right. That's fine.
That's just so
guy.
Funny how he looked at
I got to be smart about that.
I respect his privacy.
I mean, you could have said in
– No.
Nope. Keep it a private.
He doesn't want anybody to know.
Sun's come out. Still a little bit cold, but joining us right now is Sean Kelly, relief pitcher for the Washington Nationals.
Yes.
Well, I think the last time we interviewed was like 2 years ago when we were at spring training in Vieira.
Beardless.
I don't remember him having all this facial hair.
I had some. It wasn't this much.
He had some, but he's going the ZZ Top route. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. I respect his beard game.
We talked to Trey Turner before.
Who can't grow a beard.
He can.
We asked him if there was like beard shaming. Yeah. Nobody has it. Yeah. I mean, look, he's young.
Yeah.
Good looking, like it works for him, I think.
Right, right.
He's
got the whole world
face.
Ahead of him.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's got a brand and an image to focus on.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah, you're fine with that. By the way, a few years ago, I've never felt like more of a peon than when I was set up to go on a lunch with Sean Kelly and I guess two guys who had won a contest, two big, huge Nats fans.
Uh-huh.
We went and had lunch somewhere right near the park. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, over there in the Navy Yard.
Yeah, right near, in Navy Yard. And I was an ant to those two winners.
They didn't talk to you
they
once.
They couldn't have cared less that I was there. Which is fine.
Right.
I understand my rankings on the totem pole. I'm the low man. But it was all about Sean Kelly, as it should have been, because they're huge Nats.
Well, it takes the pressure off of you.
Just
sit there and eat.
I just sat there and I enjoyed my
Which I was hoping you would talk more so I could sit there and eat.
I talked very little.
You kind of threw me under the bus.
Apparently,
there.
I'm very antisocial. We're learning that as I go through the years.
Could you imagine a day, maybe you could, because we'll talk to you about this here in the fishing. But so we do the show here. We're in Florida. And Some of us do our own thing. He goes to the dog track and plays poker for over 8 hours, where he's the youngest person at the table. He's 47. There's as much as 70-year-old people.
Well, he is wearing a poker hat.
I am. Right. It makes me feel young and spry, JP, to go into that room, and I see all the codgers.
How much sitting did you do yesterday, if you think about it? 4 hours of our show.
Bad, Sean. I sat for 4 hours during the show. I sat in the car on the way back to the hotel. Sat in the car on the way to the poker room. Sat in the poker room for 8+ hours, sat in the car to go get my McDonald's and my Miller Lite, and then go back to the hotel where I sat before I went to
bed. So besides flushing the Miller Lite out, going to the bathroom and back, you pretty much sat.
You probably sat
in there too, right?
I know I would have.
I did at some point.
It's just easier. It is.
That was after his morning coffee. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, how many guys on the Nats roster right now do you think sit when they go number one?
That's a tough question. I do it in the middle of the night because I'm so tired.
And really?
I don't want to clean it up.
I do it in the middle of the day. I don't care.
I guarantee I'm not the only one.
I don't utilize that move very often, if ever.
Oh, it's so comfortable.
I might want to start doing that.
Even in the middle of the night?
The 3 a.m. is...
Have you had your four beers last night?
I mean, if I wake up, I would be pretty wobbly, but I still think I would stand up.
You don't have to touch the seat. You just sit down. You don't have to touch anything.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
Much cleaner.
It's mind-blowing.
I'm getting sage advice from you guys here.
You're welcome.
Sean, he brought his boat down here. So he's got a boat. He rents a place, rents a house down here. I think his kids come down periodically, and he rents a boat, brings his boat down. And then after he pitches after games, he just goes out on his boat and just chills.
I like to boat to restaurants to get my Miller Lite.
Instead of driving. You just have to be responsible.
Exactly. I
mean, you can't drink and boat because that's as dangerous as drinking and driving.
Well, probably even more.
Yeah.
Right.
But so, I mean, you got to have your head on a swivel.
Exactly.
I mean, people zooming through the is it the no wake zones? Or
yeah, so they're not really zooming. Yeah. There's some traffic, especially on the weekend.
Sure.
But it's very slow paced.
I know boating.
Very
slow
paced.
What's your favorite spot to go to down here on the boat?
What type of a boat do you have, first of all? Because I went for a run yesterday, and there are these, like, million-dollar yachts.
Yeah, so the opposite of those.
Right.
More like what you would see in the lake in Tennessee.
Gosh.
Versus what you would see in the inlet in Jupiter. So it's just more of this
little
fun.
But
right, no bedrooms.
I mean,
no
the boats, do you see these boats out here in
West
Palm?
I see them every
day. There's no bathroom. He just goes off the side of the boat if he has to go.
And those boats you saw, JP, are more than a million, believe me.
I have no perspective on what they are.
There's some ones that are ridiculous. But I like the Square Grouper. That's probably my favorite one. It's right there on the inlet. So
does your boat have a name?
It does not.
It does not have a name.
I haven't got there yet.
Okay.
How many feet?
22.
22-footer.
Very humble boat.
All right, so where do you like to go?
Anywhere that's got a dock that you can pull up to and get some food. There's Dive Bar is a good spot up in Jupiter.
Right.
Guanabanas is a good spot. There's four or five spots you can go. You can tool around and get a sandwich and
be out
on the water.
Are you an expert at docking the boat?
I am very good at that.
You're good
that's
at
something
that?
You have to learn. That takes time.
I know. I've seen docks crash into the dock.
Yeah, it's not necessarily something to be like, oh, I'm this most skilled captain ever. It's just something that once you've screwed up enough, you learn from your mistakes. So, especially for me back at home, I trailer it. So I put it back on my trailer. I don't just leave it there at the lake. So, the getting it on, getting it off, all that stuff after enough times, it's kind of just you can do it in your sleep.
Now, you own a house in Chattanooga.
Yes.
Where you're from. Do you also own in D.C. or just rent in D.C.?
Oh, heck no.
Oh, you just rent.
Rent. No. Smart man. Gotta rent.
Yeah. Yeah, that spread me too thin right there to have houses all over the place.
Right. So that's right.
I stick to my house in Tennessee, and that's the
– Is Sean Kelly on the outskirts of D.C. or are you in the city?
This year I'll be in Old Town. In that
Old
area.
Town, very
Trey
nice.
Turner didn't want to tell us where he lives.
Getting back to Tennessee.
Well, he's really important, though. That's, no facial hair, brand, image.
I think he thought I was asking for, like, his address.
Right, to come over.
Where do you live?
That's right. He's young.
Remember. I need to know
sure,
this.
Yes, yes.
You say
very
you
private, too.
You live in Chattanooga. Does Tennessee have state income tax?
No.
Beautiful.
That's where we have to retire.
And lots
thing.
Of water.
A lot of retirement talk lately.
We're getting close. I
mean, no income tax and lots of water.
Yeah,
we're getting close.
It's a good thing.
Although it's landlocked.
Yep.
You just have lots of rivers and lakes.
Yeah, yeah. Got Does that make you claustrophobic? Or?
No, I really know nothing about Tennessee. I don't know if I've ever been to Tennessee.
I've driven through Tennessee. I've never really – I think I've had a rest stop in Tennessee, but never really spent any – amount of time.
So, Sean, for Christmas, I got my wife a trip to Nashville.
Yeah.
She wants to go to Nashville.
Yeah.
And so I did this stupid thing where it was like
You did a Groupon?
No, it wasn't a Groupon.
Number.
But I gave her clues. I gave her clues around the house, and she had to go.
You know, scavenger hunt.
It was like a scavenger hunt.
You were romantic.
Look at that.
It was the only thing I got her, so I had to make it last a little.
Right.
That is an upset. You don't know Jason? That is a total upset.
So I had like pictures of the Grand Ole Opry and you know all this goof stuff. And
nice. The Nashville Predators.
Right.
Titans.
So, and then, but I actually didn't plan the trip yet. Okay, so I just got her like a little piece of paper since we're going to Nashville. Then I looked at the prices. I don't know if I'm going to give her the trip to Nashville.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you'll have a blast.
I'm sure it's a blast. Awesome. But dude, Nashville's awesome. That place is expensive.
It's not cheap.
It's like going to freaking New York City.
Yeah, it's turning into a New York City, a Chicago, or a Vegas as far as people that want to go there, and it's fun.
Right.
Hey, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. A while ago, there was like a pitching drill going on where it appeared that the guys were like throwing towels.
Right.
What is that?
I don't know. I don't throw towels. in all honesty, they're doing some towel drills.
Yeah.
So there are towel drills.
It's kind of a way to work on your mechanics a little bit.
You'll see younger guys
without having to put the stress of throwing a baseball. Because obviously we can only throw so many baseballs in a day or, you know, we'll end up like me with a couple times.
Like on the 60 day.
And old and thinking about retirement, so you got to find ways to do that as a younger kid trying to develop your own.
It's amazing how much you guys do before an actual game. I mean, the guys are out here at 6 a.m. getting into calisthenics, stretching, doing all the drills.
You'll see the guys hitting, you know, getting their flips in the cages, and
that's just no joke.
Yeah, it's especially for relievers who have such a short role in the actual game. You know, we spend hours just getting ready for that 5 minutes.
Was there a certain pitch or certain game last year when, because you had bone chips in your elbow, correct? Was there one pitch or one specific moment where you knew this is bad?
Most of the season,
really. It was just bothering.
I was trying to get through it.
It was just bothering you the whole time.
I was grinding last year,
right?
And to the point to where at the end it was like, all right,
you just can't do it anymore.
Let's stop.
Yeah,
let's start thinking about next year.
And then you had surgery.
And then I ended up doing stem cell.
Oh, okay.
I did the stem cell procedure where they take it out of my hip.
Oh, all right.
Spin it down, put the good cells back in the joint and the elbow.
And you feel pretty good now, don't you?
I feel really good.
Yeah.
I feel really good.
I think I can relate to Sean. I think I nicked my funny bone mucking some cards at the poker table
yesterday.
It's a hazard of my side job.
I got a guy if you want to talk about stem cell.
You might be jealous of how much money he made. He made $310 in 8-plus hours. So about $38.75 an hour.
Hey, I don't care if you make a dollar. If you go to a place like that,
that's my guy.
And you walk out of there even, then that's a win.
That's the way you look at it. Jenks, you take that to Vegas later tonight, my friend.
You walk out of Vegas with still the same amount of money you went in with, that's a win.
Sean Kelly is the gambling sensei. Mm-hmm. That is my guy.
Because you got to think about all the free drinks you got in Vegas, too.
That's true. It's a very good point.
Sean,
I feel like
you're a guy who might be into bits, like doing bits with guys. This would be my bit if I was a teammate of Bryce Harper. I would ask him about his contract every day.
Yeah, I'm sure that would go over
well. I was thinking, you know how he shut it down with all reporters and everything? Yeah. He said, I'm not going to talk about it every – like, I would be – just to throw it in there, like, every day.
I like to more give him a hard time about it. You know, like, hey, you know –
just grill him.
Right. I think Oakland's going to pay you, so where are you going to move out there?
You're going to play in Alameda.
Yeah. So, you know, his contract does – he's not giving me any of it, so I don't really care.
But
I would have a more interest if he was like, hey, I'm going to give you like 3%, like that.
But with his stance being what it is there a spillover for the media always asking you about it? Like, they know they can't go to Bryce about it, but I can ask Sean Kelly about it or Trey.
But that's going to get old, too, for the media, I think. Yeah. I mean, how many times are they going to come around and ask the same guys, what do you think about Bryce's contract
you have
now?
Some sort of insight.
Really?
No,
I don't care. That's his deal. So that'll pass.
All you care about is him hitting 45 bombs.
No, but you could have somebody in the clubhouse leave, like, a little note every day just to annoy him. You know what I mean?
No, because we don't want that on his mind. We want him hitting 45 homers this year.
He's a natural. He's fine. Come on.
But, you know, it's you get used to it. The more you play and you're around, there's a lot of guys. Not his caliber free agent, but
right.
I mean, it's baseball. There's media. You guys have questions. They have questions. They have papers to write. It's
We got to fill four hours a day.
You just have a good time with it, and you go on.
You wouldn't believe how many times we had to talk about Kirk Cousins the past 12 months. Oh, my God. It's awful. He's already gone. We're still talking about him.
Well, you guys have to talk football year-round, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the one sport that you just have to fill time with.
What's the most noticeable difference for you as a veteran between Dave Martinez this year and Dusty last year in spring training?
I just think that
– there might not be a difference. I don't know.
They're very similar. They're very player-oriented, very laid back. I think Davey just has a different way of looking at things. You know, Dusty was a little bit more old school as far as the preparation and the talks and the verbiage that he would give us. And Davey's very much just – especially with this team that's a very veteran team that's been together that knows what they're doing. You know, Davey, he's – let's have fun.
Right.
This is a game you're meant to have fun. Let's have fun and win a lot of games and have fun doing it. And, it's been a very, very laid back but a very work-oriented spring training so far.
How did you perform in the golf chipping contest a few days ago?
I was not here.
Oh, you weren't?
I missed that one.
Oh, yeah.
First spring training day I've missed in 10 years. So I had an event to go to, a fundraiser that I'm a big part of back in Chattanooga, so I was home for a couple of days. But,
gotcha.
So I missed that. But there is a there is a putt-putt competition at some point in the near future that I am going to win because I've been going to the course and practicing. I've been telling
nice.
That.
Really?
Learning the angles, charting the notes, the breaks, all that kind of
stuff. So how many players will be involved in that?
There'll be quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Now, is there a money prize at the end of that?
There could be.
Yeah.
There could be. Yeah. Yeah. We'll win a lot of money.
So there's an entry fee.
There's an entry fee.
Yeah.
There's an entry fee and a grand prize.
Do you know what Sean Kelly's role is going to be this year? It's kind of changed in all the guys that were acquired last year.
Right.
From Doolittle and Kinsler and Madsen, where are you going to fit into the equation?
To help those guys. You know, my big thing this year that I said, that Davey said, that even those guys, is that we don't want to get in a situation last year where we have to throw the same couple guys every single day, and then by August guys are taxed or guys are not fresh. We're planning on playing a whole extra month at the end
right.
of the season.
So there might be times where you're the eighth inning guy, you're the seventh inning guy.
Just to fill in. Yep.
You might even close
yep.
on occasion.
If I'm healthy, when those guys need a day, pitch me. Mm-hmm. Those situations where it's kind of borderline, where you're down one, down two late, where you might kind of want to use one of those guys, but they kind of need a day, like pitch me. You know, let me help those guys have a day. Let me fill in for those guys because I can pitch in those roles. I've done it all my career. If I'm healthy, I'll do it and I'll do it well. But let me help those guys, give them some days so we don't all get taxed and let's all just help each other.
I think as fans, we were all impressed by those guys last year. Talk about each of them and what they bring to the table in your eyes.
Well, Kinsler's just funky with that sinker. As long as he's sinking it, he's unhittable. Madsen is also just unbelievably – he doesn't throw balls, doesn't walk guys, and his stuff just 97 from, the sky coming straight down. And Doolittle just throws a ball that is invisible. I mean, if you ask any hitter, they'll say they think they see it, and by the time they swing, it's popping in the glove. So it plays like it's about 102. So
wow.
They're just – and they're all of them's mental approach
do you
is
guys
solid.
Hang,
they're just,
see,
they're
now, just I'm just making kind of a beard comparison. Do you and Sean hang?
Like oh we're the Seans for sure. Yeah, yeah, we're the Seans. We do.
He's
we,
a good dude.
We fight over who asks for our autograph when they say Sean. 92% of the time it's him, but
As a veteran, what's the mentality of a veteran coming into spring training, going, all right, this is going to be a grind. I mean, I don't know if you feel like spring training is too long. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but you have a good 6 to 8 weeks of spring training. Then the grind really starts with the long season. So how do you mentally get yourself ready for that?
For me, I try to focus on what I'm doing when I'm here. The days I'm pitching, it's probably a little long for a reliever. For a starter, maybe not. For a position player, definitely not. They need the reps. But for me, I try to focus, lock it in when I'm here, do what I can, and then when I get away, I try to get away. That's why I go out on my boat. I go to dinner. I have my family. I try to just check out a little bit when I'm not here.
Right.
Because coming up here in about a week, every day you're just pretty much locked in from the time you get out of bed to the time you get home. So I try to get my work in here, enjoy my spring training time, enjoy this weather, enjoy this city, and then
do you look forward to when the season actually starts?
I'm looking forward to opening day. I'm looking forward to the competition. I'm looking forward to competing. I'm looking forward to start, hopefully, like you said, as a veteran, older guy, building towards a World Series because my time's running out and I want one of those rings.
You're still pretty young. You're 33.
Not in baseball.
I get it. But.
And not for my elbow. it's pretty seasoned. I think it's probably as seasoned as any elbow's ever been in baseball.
When Sean Kelly is on his boat on a nice 80-degree day, what is the cold beverage of choice? What would we find in your hand?
A koozie. With the
koozie.
Silver can.
Oh, the silver can.
Silver bullet guy.
Silver bullet.
Very nice.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
But you feel good. Elbow feels great, right?
I feel great. Yeah. Honestly, it's the first time in a few years. Even in 16 when I had a really good season, it was still a grind every day to get that thing ready. And this year feels really good.
Who actually convinced you to do the stem cell versus actually having surgery on it?
It was kind of a collaboration of a lot of people. Dr. Andrews, our two team doctors, our trainers. Mike Rizzo.
And they all felt like that was the move.
Yeah, we weighed all the options. It wasn't a short process. There was a lot of uncertainty at the end of the season last year and a lot of discussions and, maybe this and that. There was times where we were like, all right, this is the route we're going, and then we'd say, let's think about it, and then we all just decided from a medical standpoint, from a health standpoint, from a career, age, everything, all the factors involved that was the least risk and with a pretty decent amount of upside.
So. Yeah. All right, well, good
luck,
Sean, man.
Sean Kelly, thank you very much for joining us again. Enjoy the boat today.
You guys enjoy your 4 hours of sitting.
Thank you, sir.
We're almost done
talking about Kirk Cousins.
Maybe more in our future. Welcome back to the show. Junkies on the Road in West Palm Beach, the site of Washington Nationals spring training. Happy to be joined by Mike Rizzo, president and GM of your Washington Nationals. In the clubhouse with Mike Rizzo is presented by Burke and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Welcome down to beautiful West Palm.
Yeah.
The facility is amazing.
The facility is incredible.
It's nice.
It's great. So nice. And you even have a pool on the side of the clubhouse. And our program director is basically saying, what do you think would happen to you if you went shirtless and cannonballed into the pool? And I said, well, Mike Rizzo would call the cops, and I would never be allowed on the facility grounds ever again.
Why? Do you have... You contaminated or something?
Well, it's not my place to do cannonballs in the pool.
You'd be breaking protocol, but I don't think he would arrest you or have you arrested.
It's just a bad look. It would be a bad look.
It would be a bad look, probably. But I think it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It'd be a good story.
It'd be a good story.
Yeah, probably would.
It'd be a bad look because you'd have your shirt off.
Yeah, terrible. I just walked by Bryce Harper, and I just felt even worse about myself.
He wouldn't even make eye contact with Bryce.
Well, what? I'm not going to bother Bryce Harper.
Oh, you're not bothering him by making eye contact.
Well, I just want to leave the guy alone. The guy gets hounded by the media all the time.
Well,
he doesn't need me to do it.
There's certain questions you're not supposed to ask him.
I'm well aware. Trust me.
He said he went in there and to use the bathroom. He got emasculated by Bryce and Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, Shamed. Anthony Rendon basically said, why are you wearing the knit cap? You're in Florida.
The knit.
Well, it's 50 degrees when there's no sun out. But it's fine. Anthony's a good dude. So is Bryce. Yeah. I get it.
Mike, it was chilly out here at 4:30, 4:45.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
It's chilly out here.
It's sweatshirt weather, and then it'll be mid-70s for game time. So it's going to be great.
What is the day-to-day for a team president and GM during spring training?
Well, spring training, it's an early go. It's early start. You know, you're up at 6 every day. You get here at 7:30 or so, and I go into my office and kind of crank that up and get that day started, and then I come down here.
But what type of activities are you doing in the office? I mean, you're just
preparing the the day's activities. You know, there's a lot of days, especially at this time. There's we're considering who we're sending out to the minors or who we're releasing.
Gotcha.
And that type of thing. So there's roster issues all the time. There's our daily protocols that we'll meet with staff, big league staff. We have a little get together there, and then. About 8:30 or so, we go down and mingle with the players, mingle with the coaches, have a conversation with a bunch of people, eat our breakfast. And
are you great at remembering names?
I'm not.
Because it's amazing. Like, how many players are here when you count the big leaguers and the minor leaguers?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, that part, pretty good because, after 12 years, you better know their name.
Yeah.
So the new guys, I make it a point to introduce myself to them first day of spring training. It's no Mr. Rizzo or whatever that. It's Riz or Hey You or whatever. And you build a rapport with these guys. And I'm around a lot. I'm with these guys a lot, and I watch them a lot of times from a distance. And and then, when the day starts, we have our circle of trust there at 9:30. That's the team, and the coaches are there. I often watch from my perch up there in my office patio. And then over to backfields and see what they're doing and for their pregame work, or the minor leaguers are playing out over there. And then, game time. And then 5 o'clock or so, you're just about done for the day.
Who uses this ballpark once the season starts, if anybody?
Nobody uses the stadium field. We have our Gulf Coast League. Our Gulf Coast League team plays here. We play at the what we call the AAA field with the lights out back here.
Okay.
What's it like sharing the facility with the Houston Astros? Do you even like really interact with them much, or are you guys just like two separate camps, one on one side, one on the other?
No interaction.
None.
It's remarkable that you can have this many major league players in a small circumference of a city and not run into just about anybody at any time. And
You never bring over one of your guys and then just go to the GM of the Astros and say, hey, we'll trade this guy for Altuve.
No.
What do you think about that today?
Bad protocol, probably.
Yeah, it's probably, frowned upon.
I would just do it as a bit every day and just bring a different guy every day. Like, this guy's an unbelievable prospect.
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to hit 700 home runs. How about him for Altuve?
But yeah, straight up right now.
But it has to be great.
Get it done.
When you play the Astros, there's no bus ride. There's when you guys were in Vieira, we know one of the big hurdles was – you got to get on a bus. You got to take a 2.5-3 hour bus ride, and that's
every
the last
day.
Thing these guys want to do.
Grind,
it was rough,
and it wears on the bodies. And it's the last thing you want.
It really does. You know, the biggest. Vieira was a fine city. You know, they treated us great, and we had a good fan base there. The ballpark was older, but it was doable. The travel was just becoming untenable, and down here we have three long road trips this whole spring training. It's like 27 of our games are within 15 minutes of this ballpark.
It's beautiful.
So it's really beautiful.
Do you think that actually could have an impact in the regular season?
It definitely is conducive for development of your players and them getting ready. Because you remember, Vieira, you didn't see a veteran on a road trip. You know, we're not going to have Jason Wirth get in his car, drive 2 hours to Jupiter, and then 2 hours back, you know, to get four innings of baseball in. So they played mostly at home games, and then they did their workouts. But here, you know, guys are traveling. They get to play. They get on their regular schedule every other day. They can, you know, usually at the beginning, and then we ramp them up, you know, to play a couple of 9-inning games in a row before the season starts. So really conducive for getting their work in and for preparing for the season.
So are the Astros practicing – is there a set of fields that we just can't see on the other side here? Is that where they are?
The Astros have – we have the same footprint, but they did their thing a little bit different. But yeah, they've got their 6.5-7 fields, and
right.
They have their batting cages
over there.
It's the stadium divides us.
Gotcha.
And they go that way and we go south, and it's a terrific setup and really conducive to getting your work done.
So we saw that you guys optioned Victor to AAA Syracuse, which is a good move because he'll actually play.
Sure.
What did you notice about him this spring training? I know he struggled a little bit at the plate, but I don't know how many of those at bats were quality at bats. What did you notice about Victor this year?
He's as advertised. He's going to be a really good impact player for us in the near future. He's extremely young and needs to get his reps in. It's all about preparation for the big leagues, and they say getting to the big leagues is difficult, but staying in the big leagues is the most difficult part. And I think when he comes to the big leagues, he probably stays there for a long time.
Mm-hmm. He's just a stud athlete.
He's a great athlete. He's got great tools, but he's also got instincts and playability. He's got a good clock in his head and baseball clock in his head, and he really gets after it. And the thing that kind of separates him from a lot of 19 and 20 year old big leaguers that I've had in the past is, you know, this kid is a beautiful person. He's a humble, but very, very confident, and that's a great balance to have. He's a humble, confident player at a very, very early age.
Right. And Brian will be the fourth outfielder, we assume?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Goody's having a good spring training. He's played all three outfield positions, excuse me, and been swinging the bat pretty well and just getting his sea legs under him, and he's played a lot early in camp, and now as the starters start filtering in and playing longer and more innings, his at-bats will taper off.
So tell us about the acquisition of Hellickson, Jeremy Hellickson. What are your thoughts on that? How far behind is he? Does he have a legitimate shot as a fifth starter? What do you see on him?
Well, he certainly has the talent to be a fifth starter in the big leagues. You know, he was a great big leaguer. Had a great season in 2016. Obviously, when he pitched in the AL East, he's a really good pitcher for them.
Yep.
We recognize a few delivery flaws that he's worked on in the off season to possibly improve some command and some location stuff. So he's a legitimate major league pitcher. It gives us greater depth in the rotation. And he came in about 2.5 weeks behind schedule in spring training. He's going to get his first taste, I think, Friday in our split doubleheader. He's going to start one of those games, and we'll assess then really where he's at and how far away he is from uh, from being able to help us in the big leagues. But you know, before we acquired him, we loved our five guys, and AJ Cole has thrown extremely well. Eric Fetty has thrown extremely well, and Hellickson just adds another layer to that depth.
Hmm. How do you distinguish those two guys, Cole and Fetty, right now?
Cole's more experienced. He's got more big league innings under his belt. He hadn't had Tommy John surgery, so he hadn't had to be protected with our innings protocol that Eric has had. But Eric's, I think, over that hump and just starting to scratch his surface of being a really good big league pitcher.
Have you become an expert on the elbow and the arm over the years?
I'm
we were
sure
talking
he
to
has.
Sean Kelly, and Sean was talking about his decision to have stem cell therapy, and I'm sure, like, just going through all this stuff, surgeries, that you're becoming a bit of an expert.
Well, we've unfortunately had a lot of experience with it. You know, it's something that you really have to dive into. We dove into it. We had a protocol. I've had a protocol in my mind when I was an assistant GM back in Arizona and through my days here, early days in Washington. When I got the opportunity, I sat down with our pitching people and our medical people. Excuse me. And we put together a real format of how we're going to handle these guys. Unfortunately, it got put to the test right away with Jordan Zimmerman. That worked out extremely well for Jordan and for us.
Don't worry, it happens to me all the time.
and you know, so we really got our feet wet with that, and then you know, obviously the Strauss thing was extremely a popular topic for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Position battles right now. Can you give me a couple that you see that are evident, or is everyone pretty much locked into their roles at this point?
Well, you know, we've got about 22 of the 25, you know, roster spots are just about set. If there's no injuries that happened late in camp, but mm-hmm. You know, we're Seve and Maggie Montero battling behind the plate. We've got some. You know, the fifth starter spot, you know, is still we're assessing that. I said earlier, you know, AJ Cole will be on the team somewhere. He's too talented not to. If he's not the fifth starter, then he'll be one of our bullpen guys.
Oh, okay.
And we'll have some bullpen. Competition spots still up for grabs.
Okay.
Where are we at with Daniel Murphy?
Murph is just beginning his baseball protocol. You know, he's taking ground balls, he's taking batting practice, but he obviously hasn't sprinted yet. He hasn't played in any games, he's behind. So he's, you know, he probably starts the season on the DL. Hopefully it's a short, he doesn't miss many games. We've got a lot of days off at the beginning of spring. So with the depth players that we have and Howie and Defoe, we think that we can weather a short storm without Murph being in the lineup for a couple weeks.
So you're thinking 2 to 4 weeks probably that he'll miss?
No, I'm not going to put a timetable on it. When you see Murph in the batter's box, you'll know he's ready because he's got a very good feel for where he's at, again, his knees are extremely important. His legs, when he hits, is extremely important. He's one of the hitters that utilizes lower half of his body more than any hitter that we have, and more than a lot of hitters in the league. So we need to make sure that he's good to go. If we didn't have the depth and the quality backups that can play second base, we may have rushed him a little bit more, but we don't have to. We want him set, and Murph got a good feel for his body and knows what he's doing.
One last question from me on Worth. I know he didn't fit into your plans, you know, being a National League club and all that. Are you surprised that he hasn't latched on with an AL club? Because I assume he can still hit and he can still play outfield every now and then. But definitely help you off the bench. Is that something you think he's interested in, or you know, is it a surprise that he doesn't have a spot right now?
It surprises me that he doesn't have a spot. He's a quality player. You know, to me, he fits perfectly on a team that's looking for a right-handed component to a platoon in left field.
Right.
He wears out left-handed pitching, and you know, he's a championship pedigree. He's a clubhouse leader and a great guy, and he's one of those guys that you that I you know, I've always envisioned as a guy that is one of those complementary pieces that you bring into a club that's on the verge of winning, that needs that leadership type of guy that can push you over the top.
Do you still talk to him?
Yeah, I talk to him all the time.
So he's still working out and everything?
Oh yeah, he's in great shape. You know, he's a workout, you know, fiend. Yeah. So he eats right and he works out every day. He's got a huge gym in his place.
Still swinging the bat. And
still
everything.
Baseball activities and doing things right. And I think he's itching to play. I think he wants to play. He told me, you know, at the latter part of last season that you know he planned to play for a couple more years, and he thinks he's capable of doing it.
We know that he's into organic farming now, yeah. So I would hope you're getting a box like every few months or so of some fresh vegetables or whatever else he's growing on the farm.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to do that with J-Dub. Yeah, I've been around him too much. I don't know if I want to trust his organics.
Who throws today? Do you know?
We are throwing. I can't. Gio, I think.
Gio's throwing it.
Yeah.
And you guys are playing Houston.
We're playing Houston. Yes.
Cool.
So all no right. Travel, zero travel. It's right here.
I think it's a home game today, but yes, we're playing Houston, and yes. You know, it's funny. It's confusing too when you play a road game and you're playing Houston, and you know,
you don't know
what time to go for, you know, BP and
right.
Stuff like that.
Right.
Well, all right, Mike. Appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Hope you get home safe.
Yeah, we hope so, too. Yeah. Hope the flight leaves on time.
Wouldn't it be the worst thing in the world to be in Florida one more day?
Yeah, if you're
going
to get stuck, this would be a good spot.
Turn out to be nice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.